Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we are, a new week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. The full crew's in town today. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and we are glad you're with us. Dickey's Barbecue Pit sponsors the first segment of every show, and we're grateful that they do. They're great friends of ours. It's a great place to take your family for a delicious meal 7 days a week. And it's a wonderful place to cater your next event, whether it be the upcoming baseball weekend at Southern Miss or whatever the occasion for your church, maybe for your home. Dickey's Barbecue does a great job of catering, and we're grateful to them for all they do with us. It's Monday. We talked to head baseball coach Christian Ostrander, who got back last night from a trip over into, I guess it would be, Eastern Georgia. And you said at the start of the year, Coach, that there were going to be some stormy days, and this week, not the greatest week we've had. Break it down for us, Coach, and give us your analysis.
Well, yeah, I think this past week, the last four games we played, starting back, you know, last week against Ole Miss and Trustmark, you know, we just hadn't played really good baseball at all, you know, and whether, you know, offensively underperforming or on the mound not getting it done and stuff, and, you know, and, you know, thankfully we're able to salvage, you know, that game on Saturday, or the second game, and had chances Sunday, you know, but just couldn't get enough going. So you get what you get. You get a 1-3 week, which is, you know, obviously disappointing, very disappointing. But, you know, something we got to, you know, look straight on and deal with and move on and get ready for the next one.
That's right. Well, you had to play two Saturday because of the weather on Friday night. I know that's not ideal to lay around the hotel room all day Friday. But let's get to the first game. Nico Mazza, 4 innings, 6 hits, and some earned runs. Not your typical Nico Mazza start. That fair to say?
No doubt, no doubt. I thought, you know, the stuff was fine. His command was off a little bit, and he had a hard time kind of adjusting to their mound. And we had a few other guys that said that, and which I don't make excuses. You know, it's part of being on the road. You got to figure it out and stuff because everything's different. And but he never got any rhythm, man. And they jumped him. Their 9-hole hitter had a bases loaded situation, and they jumped him, drove him out of the park, and that was pretty much the, you know, the tone setter there.
I thought a much better pitching performance from Billy Odom. He's just so rock solid. Five and a third innings, only 5 hits. Let's see, 2 strikeouts, 2 base on balls, and then Colby Allen pitched very well, and you win that game 9-4, scoring the last 8 runs of the game.
Yeah, that was huge. You know, that was another game that was kind of vanilla from us offensively. The first 5-6 innings, it really was. I'll call it what it is. And you know, but we were able to keep it close enough, you know, to strike. I think they go up 4-1. I believe that's right at that point.
Right.
And you know, I think we gave up a 2-run home run when we come into a left on left matchup. And you know, and that had been easy for the guys, especially after how we played the last couple of games, to just kind of feel sorry for themselves, get down. But they stayed in there, kept fighting, and you know, made some things happen and allowed us to put some runs on that board there. But you know, it was you know, Billy and Colby, those guys did a great job. But I'm going to tell you, their hitters, they made us earn it, man. They were hard to strike out. They put the ball in play a lot. You could tell that's something they preach, and it's part of their identity. And you had to really. You had to earn every out you got against them, for sure.
Coach, the game yesterday, odd in this respect. It's a 1-1 game going late into the game, and then we had two instances, and particularly on second base, I thought was the turning point of the game, where our guys seemed to lose the ball up in the air in the sun. Was there anything specific that you had seen that made you think that would be a problem?
Well, no. I think anytime you're playing an afternoon baseball game on a bluebird sky day, I mean, sun's going to be bright. You got to figure it out. You know, unfortunately, we had a couple miscues doing that yesterday. They didn't. And, you know, so I don't, you know, it is what it is. You gotta handle it. You gotta be wearing sunglasses. You gotta learn to, you know, put the glove and block the sun and get to the side. There's a lot of things you can do. And, you know, but obviously we didn't handle it real well and ultimately ended up, you know, the go ahead run,
right.
You know, scored, you know, on an error or whatever they ruled it that on a play we should have made.
Yeah. It seemed to turn the momentum. At that point of the game. And as Kelly and I were talking to him, my office coach, sometimes you have to give credit, you know, where credit's due. And the kid that pitched for Georgia Southern threw a complete game. I mean, you couldn't ask more out of him.
No, it was, you know, it was fun to watch. Not fun for me, but if you're a fan of baseball and good pitching and a performance and stuff, he earned that. But, you know, and I'll tip my hat to him. I thought he did great. I thought their game one starter did great. But I think we gotta fight a little better. You know, we gotta do a little bit more. I mean, come on. You know, personal pride kicks in somewhere. This guy's not going to see Jimmy 9 innings. You know, he might. You know, we can get him out in the sixth or whatever, seventh, and get in that bullpen. But we just didn't do that. And that was a message that you know, I was very stern about with the guys, that you got to have some pride. At some point, there's pride that kicks in that you got to be saying, you know, not on my watch. You know, I'm going to do something about this and stuff. So, you know, hopefully we'll learn a lesson that from not doing it to where, you know, when we have to, we're in that position again, we'll do a little better.
Right. 12 of the 14 Sun Belt teams after this weekend now with winning records. The Golden Eagles sitting in second place, just a game behind Louisiana and Georgia State. Put in perspective how difficult it is to go on the road and win the series, Coach.
It's not easy. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter the names. That is totally irrelevant because it's not who you play. It's when you play them. You catch them when they're hot. You catch them when they're cold. You know, Georgia Southern this weekend, I'm going to tell you, they earned everything. They played great defense. They pitched the ball. They had timely hitting. They did everything, and, you know, envisioning with their coach, Coach Hennen, and he's an unbelievable guy. A lot of respect for him. He's been there a long time. But he said, Coach, this is the best three games we've played all year other than three innings in game two. And you know, and I believe it. I mean, they played really well. Well, I think, you know, they were excited about us coming in there. They were ready for this challenge. They you know, Southern Miss to them was a team that they knew they wanted to knock off. And so that's – our guys know that, and we tell them, hey, man, everybody's going to give you the best. They want to beat you. And that's out of respect, and that should make us be a little bit more. We got a responsibility and accountability to do.
Well, it figures that's the best three games they played all year. They pull it out against us. And this is a fan base, too. They had over 3,000 people there, you know, at each game this weekend. They've got great fans. They're just a year removed from hosting the regional. I actually, on the positive note, Coach, I like the way that the guys responded in game two, because they were at the teetering point there in game two on Saturday, particularly after a disappointing game one. But they did what they needed to do and scratched out that win. So that's a positive, yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, you always got to look for the bricks, you know, that help you build that wall and stuff. And that was definitely one of the bricks that we needed to see, being able to come back and stuff. And no, that was positive. But you would love to see that momentum carry over, especially offensively, after getting rolling like we did. And it's just, you know, it's contagious. Hitting's contagious. Momentum's real, and it gets going. You'd hope it would carry over, you know, to Sunday. But their pitcher had something to do with that. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying, you know,
right,
they're trying to get us out just like we're trying to get them out. But, you know, but no, that was a positive, Kelly, and something that we can always draw strength from.
With your pitching staff, the way that you've got it, is there a number, and I know you'd say, well, 15 would be good, but is there a number in your mind that you think that every time you go out, we ought to be able to beat the opposition if we score X amount of runs?
No, I don't. I think, okay. You know, I think that's hard to quantify. Baseball's a crazy game. I mean, it's sometimes, you know, one's enough. Sometimes eight's not enough. And so it's just, you know, it just depends. But I promise you, we're trying to keep them off the board. So,
sure.
You know, whatever we can. But I think if you can go, you know, four or five runs, if you can keep a team to that, three, four, five runs, and you would hope you could generate enough to have a chance to win that game.
Your thoughts about the atmosphere out there, Coach, as you travel around the Sun Belt. I think it's the first time we've ever played there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was very impressed. I thought they do a great job. They're very, very good hosts. I thought they're in all aspects, from the grounds guys to the obviously their coaches and so forth. Their production, their TV production, ESPN Plus production folks. Just their the folks in the press box, the commentator, the PA guy. I got an email, this morning from one of them that just saying how much they were impressed with us and how we played and the class and all that stuff. So it was a lot of positive. I thought it was a first class bunch of folks.
Good. All right, we'll get Luke Johnson involved in the conversation. Coach Oz on the show to kick off every week. We're very grateful for that. More from Coach Oz right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road today, and coming very soon, the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Beautiful, beautiful building right down the road from the radio station. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. It's a great place to buy all of your Southern Miss apparel and a great place to visit 7 days a week. That's how many days each week Miss Kathleen is there. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Coach Christian Ostrander on the Super Talk Eagle Hour to kick off a new week. Luke, get in here with Coach Oz.
Coach, first game, of course, just want to flush it and move on, but there was one positive in it. No errors in that game. The other two games of the weekend, you had three errors each. How do you address that moving forward in Sunbelt play?
Yeah, I thought the errors there was kind of concerning a little bit. Obviously you don't want to any of them, but those freebies. But a couple were ground balls, one thrown there, a couple fly balls, pop ups, whatever, losing to the Sun. Hitting off your back or whatever it was. I mean, just, it is what it is. It's they're not trying to make them. I know that, but we need to shore that up. And, the ball plays a little different on that natural surface too. It's a little quicker or whatnot. And you could tell, an air at third, an air at second on the ground, that you could tell it kind of got on them quicker than maybe, they anticipated. So, definitely need to clean that up and, usually play a little bit better, cleaner defense here on this turf for sure.
I don't want to be negative, Nancy. I'm just asking as a baseball fan. You get that, but it's in the last three out of four, maybe three out of five conference games. We've had pitchers pretty much shut us down. Now what Blevins did, it was unbelievable.
Right.
Fisher had a really good game yesterday, and their guy game one. Is that an approach thing? You mentioned the mental side of it about having some pride. Is there anything else that you've been communicating with the guys?
Well, yeah, it is concerning. There's no doubt, and let's just be honest, that's not a strength. The numbers show that right now. We got to be better at that. I think approach is right. I think what the plan has been to go attack has been right. But then you can't just know it. You got to be able to, apply it and truly apply it. Not just shake your head. Say, yeah, I get it. We're going to try to do this, but really be convicted and compete and fight you know, for that. And, you know, right, wrong, indifferent and stuff. And I just don't think we've done a good enough job of that. And that's something we are addressing, and we're going to try to do more. And just, you know, guys, you got to sell out to this, man. You can't be, you know, 60-40. You got to be all in to this aspect in order for it to work at this level.
On the positive, talk about Will Armstead yesterday. Gave you a six innings and looked more like the old Will Armstead that we know. We saw him get in the groove last weekend, but he looked good yesterday.
Yeah, he was fine, man. His numbers are, you know, I think if you told me, you know, six starts into it, I'd probably say, yeah, I'd like that ERA be a little bit better, but he's throwing the ball well. You know, he had a couple moments, you know, in some games where it just got away from him, but, you know, what he did last week, this week, it's what you expect. And he really pitched well yesterday. I hate it that it didn't account for a win because, you know, you give me six innings, give up one run. If you told me that to start the game, I'd say, you know, we're going to win this ball game and stuff. But hopefully he'll continue to grow. And we got a short week this week, so he'll be back out there, you know, 6 days rest. So look forward to it.
Coach, last question for me. We were talking about this last week, and it didn't happen in our favor this weekend. But when was the 10-run rule in games 1 and 2 of a conference series? When was that changed, and what was some of the thinking behind that?
This is the first year. You know, SECs went to it. Our league adopted it as well, to where every game it's a run rule, you know. And I don't necessarily know I think more, you know, speed things up, whatever, stuff like that. And which, if you're on the wrong end of it, you're kind of glad it's over, you know. And if you're on the right end of it, then maybe you look at, well, heck, I didn't have to use as much pitching, you know. So I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong and, you know, whatever, but that's kind of what our league has gone to, and other leagues certainly are doing it as well.
Coach, 12 out of the 14 conference teams have winning records as of today. There's just not going to be any easy out in the Sun Belt. Your analysis this far into the season, relatively young, of course, but your analysis overall of the league.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be as competitive as I remember it from last year. You know, you're going to have to play good baseball every weekend, you know, to win a series. And so it's going to be a dogfight. There's a lot of parity in this league. You know, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, the teams in it right now in front of me, and with the upcoming schedules of each team. And, you better get after it and, go play good baseball and know that it's not going to be easy, and you're going to have to earn it. So it's fun. You know, if you do well in this league, you'll be in a good spot. So that's the silver lining for sure.
All right, kind of an odd week coming up. You just come off a long road trip. You got a game Tuesday night, but then you turn around and play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday due to Easter. So how does that change your approach to get your ball club ready this week?
Well, it doesn't too much. I mean, at first you worry about your pitching, especially when you had to do a doubleheader on Saturday. But, you know, I talked to Nico, and I said, man, you know, he only threw 80 pitches. I had to get him out. So maybe there was a blessing in that part of it. But he said, Coach, I'm good. I'll be fine Thursday. So I said, well, good. We'll rock it and roll. So you'll keep the same format with it. But it'll probably affect what they do in between, you know, starts a little bit this week. But that's part of it. Sometimes, you know, usually on this Easter weekend, you hit that shorter day rest period. But we got, you know, another big week. Thank goodness they're all at home. We got 3 night games at the Pete this week. Good opponents, Tulane coming in here, then Troy. So we're gonna have to play good baseball. So after the way we played this past week, you know, I'm excited about getting back on that field as often as we can here.
It's obviously, besides being the head coach, you call the pitches. What is the key, Coach Ostrander, to and look, you have good games and bad games calling pitches, but what's the key to calling a good game pitch wise?
Well, just trying to get control of the box and, you know, and stuff, and seeing how your guy matches up with what that guy trying to do and so forth. And you watch, you know, body language and mannerisms and takes and swings. So it's a chess game. And, you know, ultimately it comes down to execution. You can call the worst pitch in the world, and if they execute it right, it could get the out. And you could call the best pitch in the world, and if they execute it right, they could not 50 out. So, I mean, it's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, they're trying to do something just like we are. But, you know, a lot of time spent watching video. And then, but, you know, so correlate what you see with what your guy can do and, you know, try to keep them off balance the best you can.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are there any circumstances in which you would allow a pitcher to shake off your call?
Absolutely, yeah. They have freedom to do it. Some of them will, some won't, and that's on them. You know, there's some guys that just totally trust and are convicted in it, and I like that. You know, and I'll take ownership. Hey, if I call the pitch and you execute it, and they get it, hey, that's on me. You know, you tip your hat, whatever. So, but I also don't mind a guy wanting to have conviction of what he's going to throw to.
I
might ask why, but
yeah. Well, I was going to say that to me, that would be the answer. Look, I'm going to throw it, and if he puts it over the fence, then it's not my fault.
Right, no doubt. Well, the location has a lot to do with
sure.
it. Not just the pitch.
Hey, Coach, much better job, I thought, the latter part of the weekend throwing base runners out from mm-hmm. the catcher position.
Yeah, that's been something we've been challenging. Coach Brewer's been working with those guys, and you know, and I call them on it, man. Say, hey guys, y'all got to do better. You know, this is something that you're capable, and there's enough. And so they're kind of embracing that challenge. And that was good to see, you know, Tucker throwing a few out and Jacob Keys throwing a guy out. And so they're capable. It's just part of growth and, you know, as young catchers and stuff. So hopefully that trend will continue.
Pretty young baseball team. Is that not fair to say, Coach, that we have right now?
There's a bunch of young, a bunch of new at this level, and that's for sure. And JUCO to this level is a big difference. High school to this level is a big difference. And, they're kind of seeing that. They saw that this weekend for sure on the road against an opponent that was playing really good baseball, that, you know, what it takes to try to win a series there. And we were close, you know. And that doesn't get you anything.
Yeah, we told Travis one day on the show that it seems like every time there's a crucial moment in the game, a freshman comes up to bat, and he sort of chuckled about that. But that's where we're at, right? We got to develop these kids and keep them on the field and keep getting them better, Coach.
That's right. I mean, you know, again, it's you play 56 games or whatever, you're gonna have storms, and you know, and you try to prepare for those storms before they hit. So you got an evacuation plan and stuff. And sometimes, you know, it's when you have so many guys that's never been in these storms at this level, right. They're like looking around like, what do we do? You know, so,
right.
You know, we got to lead them and, you know, push through and persevere.
So the green wave comes in here and they can swing it, huh?
Yeah, the numbers look pretty good. I think they're hitting, you know, .271 as a team, and looks like some pretty good numbers there. So we're diving into video today, and we'll some more in the morning. Get ready for them.
Lots of good baseball this week at the Peak, Coach. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, sir, for your time.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you all. All right,
Christian Ostrander, everybody. Breaking down what was kind of a long week, but it's a new dawn, Kelly. Like
ain't got time to deal with that.
Yeah.
You gotta
like Jefferson Airplane said when they took the stage at Woodstock, it's a new dawn. That's how late they were running.
Luke is Googling that as we speak.
Yes, Woodstock. Woodstock, New York. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, we want to thank Coach Oz for joining us like he does every Monday. Travis Creel will be on the show Wednesday. Always look forward to talking to the baseball coaches, and as baseball rolls right along, and we'll be very good by the end of the year. No question in my mind.
I'm shocked, though, that Coach Ostrander, like some fans, was that he wasn't on a bridge, and we had to talk him off of the bridge.
Or resigning or something like yeah. that. By the way, Coastal Carolina went to Appalachian State this weekend, lost 2 out of 3, and came close to losing the third game. So, you know, it's not as easy as everyone thinks.
And Coastal, you know, was picked to win the league. And you got the Cajuns sitting at the top of the heap.
I think we knew this Georgia Southern team was capable. I mean, it was just 2 years ago, year before last, they hosted a regional baseball tournament.
And again, they played Mississippi State 3 games. They played Virginia. They played South Carolina. They played Georgia Tech. They played Maryland. They were playing some darn good squads.
Do you want to talk about parity, Bob? You mentioned now I'm looking at it's Yeah, 12 of the 14. Georgia Southern is 11-12 now. Marshall's 8-15. Everybody else with a winning record. Yeah, Southern Miss tied for second right now with Texas State, Louisiana, and Georgia State at the top 5-1.
Yeah, and I didn't pick up on that, Luke. You're right. One of the two teams with a losing record is the Georgia State team, or the Georgia Southern team we just saw. Yeah, it's going to be a competitive year. No question about that. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. We're glad they do. We appreciate all Slade and his guys do for us and for the university. And we tell you every day because it's true. It's just a great place to go have lunch or dinner and to hang out with some of your friends and enjoy the Southern Miss atmosphere at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And then go right down the street to Mo' Bay Beignet and do like Kelly and Luke. Get you 6 of them beignets, toppings, knock them out. Luke's eat his faster than Kelly, but Kelly's credit, he knocked down 6 of them big puppies.
Well, more than that. But I
and you ate, you drank milk that day.
I just savor the flavor, baby.
You drank milk with that too.
Well, it's a farm boy from Iowa, you know. That's kind of what we were raised on.
All right, the Lady Eagles are still alive and well, and they're awaiting tonight's matchup between Louisiana Monroe and Grambling State. We probably know how that's likely to turn out, and then it appears that the Lady Eagles will be on the road at Louisiana Monroe. I don't guess that's 100%, but and that would be, Luke Johnson, the third matchup of the year between these clubs.
Yeah, and what more can you say about the magnificent seven? You look at what they did the other night. They win in overtime, and not just that, they outscore Murray State 13-2 in overtime. I tell you what, I didn't have very many fingernails after watching that game. Murray State had an opportunity. It was what, guys? It was like a second left, 2 seconds left.
They missed both
free throws. Dom Davis doesn't come out of the ball game. Plays 45 minutes. Her and Bracey played both. Both of them played 45 minutes. Nyla Jean played 43. Sieper played 40. Dom scores 33. Bracey and Grayson have double-doubles. Bracey, 25 points, 12 rebounds. Grayson, 11 points, 10 rebounds. It was just a gutsy performance from the Lady Eagles all the way around. Everybody getting involved because you only got seven. But that was a good team they beat in Murray State. And what more can you say? Dom breaks the record. The best part of for me, other than the overtime, was she hit that three-pointer. Her feet, when she jumped, she was actually standing at the edge of the eagle head in center court, and drains a three with no time really left on the shot clock. And just everything that we have talked about Dom this year, she epitomized in that game, led the ladies to victory.
And let's not forget Malia Grayson, because when she's in the paint, if you pay too much attention to Dom Davis, they're going to throw the ball in the paint, and Malia's going to knock you down and score. So, I mean, I think she's played her best basketball of her Southern Miss career here over the last month.
Many times you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone, right? We've all heard that adage. And I think the legacy of Dom Davis, I think she, and I may have said this before, but along with Pauline Love and a couple of other ones, Janice Felder. They've got to be considered. Dom's got to be in that discussion for not just for what she meant on the floor, but what she has meant to this team off the floor.
I'm not telling people what to do, but there will be a banner of Dom Davis hanging in Reed Green Coliseum. Just that's how good she's been. I mean, nobody has really scored what she's done. I'm talking about averages. She's now, I think, probably with that performance Saturday, she should be over the 20 mark per game for the season. I'll check on that in just a minute. But it's just amazing what she's done.
But, Luke, she is not the best basketball player in Mississippi, not the best female basketball player in Mississippi. Has never been throughout her career, according to the awards.
20.3 points a game. She is the best basketball player, of course, female basketball player in the state.
Really, I think the young lady from Mississippi State probably ought to drive down here and give Dom the trophy. I mean, that would.
Well, she can't because they're in the Sweet 16. So yeah, anyway, but to your point, a lot of times these awards are who you play for, not what you did.
No question about it.
I hate the way that the bracket shook out, though. that now you've got two Sun Belt teams who are within a short driving distance, comparatively speaking, and one of them is going to have to be side. Well, and again, we're taking for granted that Monroe is going to beat Grambling tonight.
Never do that.
You know, no, you shouldn't. But I'm like you, Bob. If I were betting, I would think that Monroe would win that game tonight. And I'm not so sure. And I know
this is their first game, right?
Because Monroe got a bye.
Yeah, they got a bye. Yeah.
And I know that the Lady Eagles have had two straight home games, but I'm not so sure they wouldn't get a third one.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know either. But fingers crossed.
They had a good crowd this weekend, and they've had two good crowds, and I would think maybe they would.
And of course,
I thought Lee said on the ESPN broadcast that if Monroe won, they would host. And I would assume they would because they got a bye. And if it's head to head or whatever, you know, they've beat the Lady Eagles twice. I don't see the Lady Eagles hosting this next round. Now, if they beat Monroe, sure, there's a chance. But you know, Old Dominion got knocked out. Troy is still alive, so there could possibly be two Sun Belt teams, either Monroe and Troy or Southern Miss and Troy playing, which would be what in the final eight.
Yeah, I guess so. They don't play that in New York anymore, do they? They moved that last year. I could be wrong. By the way, well, we're going to time. Last night, I saw this flame go across the sky, Kelly, and I thought maybe it was one of Elon's rockets. But then I realized it was the SEC men's basketball teams going down in flames in the tournament. How fun has that been watching them get eliminated?
Look, the first two... Yeah, I mean, Greg Sankey was, he was biting his nails for Bama and Tennessee. But I tell you what, when you make comments a week before the tournament starts that we should not be giving auto bids to conferences, you deserve everything that comes your way.
1,000%.
And his SEC tournament team got knocked, tournament champion, got knocked out by the Ivy League champion. And it was almost like those first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, it was like, you know, in Star Wars, like the collective basketball rebel alliance came and said, we will not allow Emperor Palpatine Sankey to tell us what March Madness is going to be. He will not take our madness. And Sankey getting clowned on social media and in the news, he absolutely deserves it. Because while it may be his job to promote the best interest of his conference, there is certain things that you do not touch in college sports. He already destroyed college football. And he will not destroy March Madness. And I was really thankful to see that. We'll see what happens with Alabama and Tennessee. But, man, did y'all see how the University of Idaho's band came down, cheered for Yale, learned the Yale fight song? I mean, that was just so fun. Watching Oakland clown Kentucky like that, it was so good.
Yeah, and schools like, you know, Duquesne, you know, winning upset wins in the first round, and those other schools that you mentioned, and even
James Madison knocked off Wisconsin.
They looked great, James Madison.
They got drilled yesterday, but yeah.
And then last night, Houston in that football game on hardwood eliminated Texas A&M. Guys, is it my imagination, or are they just letting them go? I mean, these basketball games are violent.
Well, it depends on your crew, because some of them were pretty ticky tack. But yeah, I mean that one wasn't. They let them play last night. The Grand Canyon Alabama game.
There's another school, Grand Canyon.
Yeah, 12 seed, and they had a chance late. They quit. I think Barkley said it. You know, they quit calling plays. They basically made every offensive possession a one-on-one. That guy was good for Grand Canyon, but I didn't realize Kelly, because you've always talked about this, they've got like 101,000 students enrolled. A lot of that's online.
Right.
But they had a massive cheering section at that game.
That's the thing I was going to mention with these smaller schools. If you, these bigger schools take for granted these bids that they get. A lot of us peons, we don't get invited very often. So to us, it's exciting. And we're going to go follow our team, you know, for good, bad, or indifferent. And look at all these Oakland. I would think, man, they were going crazy.
Don't touch March Madness.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is a lot of fun. And Iowa State is still alive.
How about them Cyclones, baby?
Yeah. Maybe we got Illinois, so the road might be over, but who knows?
I like Iowa State. You're not pulling for them, are you?
Of course I am. You bet I am.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment of this Monday. It's overcast, guys. I've got the pollenitis. Is that a word, Kelly?
It certainly sounds reasonable. I think
what's
everybody,
their mascot?
Nobody. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever that is, it is constricting the old vocal cords today. Anyway, final segment on a Monday, brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com on overcast days like this. It's never overcast at DBAT and Pro Shop Instruction. 8 batting cages. Good stuff down at DBAT in Hattiesburg. All right. Men's tennis did it, guys. They went to Mobile.
Oh,
and
no.
They won. The Golden Eagles, the men tennis team, now 6-4, beat South Alabama. And not just beat them, guys, beat them in Mobile. Anything is possible.
Now, Bob, on the computer system there, isn't the Morven Tabernacle Choir, Hallelujah, isn't that on?
This is the closest I've got.
Okay. No.
Men beat South Alabama in tennis. They will travel to Troy on the weekend to take on the Trojan tennis team. Outdoor track and field had 4 first-place showings in the second day of Bulldog Relays in Starkville. 11 top 8 finishes, so congratulations to track and field. And they will get ready for their own track and field tournament March 29th and 30th for the Southern Miss Invitational. Football had a scrimmage. Lots of scrimmages going on now. As Will told us a couple weeks ago that they're starting to hit. This past Saturday, freshman Jalen Washington of Houston High School had a 45-yard touchdown run. John White threw a touchdown pass to J.J. Butler. He was also he also threw for 17 and 25-yard completions. Ethan Crawford, Billy Wiles, and Tate Rodemaker also completed passes of 30-plus yards. Golden Eagles will practice again tomorrow as they get ready for the annual spring game on April the 6th. We have a new record holder. Southern Miss graduate softball catcher Hannah Borden sets a program record with 42 home runs. She did it on a grand slam against Marshall. Lady Eagles win the series, their first win, series win of the year. And first time since 2010, guys, they beat Marshall in a conference series. So congratulations to Lady Eagles as they win 2 out of 3 against Marshall at home. They will get ready to go to Birmingham tomorrow to take on UAB. Lady Eagles now at 500, 3-3 in the conference.
Bob, now do you have the for Hannah Borden? Do we have the Hallelujah
please,
chorus?
Please don't do the other one.
Well, that's good, but it's
all right.
It's not the Hallelujah chorus from the Mormon. No, and it's not Hump the Wonder Camel either. Well, you're slacking on the job today, Bob.
Sunbelt baseball over the weekend. Texas State takes 2 out of 3 at James Madison. Marshall takes 2 out of 3 at home against Arkansas State. South Alabama takes 2 of 3 in the battle for Alabama at Troy. Louisiana sweeps Old Dominion. Appalachian State in Boone takes 2 out of 3 from Coastal. Georgia State takes 2 out of 3 from ULM. Of course, the Golden Eagles only got 1 over in Statesboro. And to make Kelly Sanders' day, Quez Watkins signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, unsolved mysteries or whatever.
Law and order.
Law and order.
The Steelers are going to bring down the law and order. You need to know.
Man, why, all the good players sign in the AFC North. My Bengals have no chance. All the studs sign in that and play.
They
in
got
that
Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Quez Watkins, and some other people for like $1 million in 1 draft pick.
And the Bengals, we get, you know, we got Norm Snead.
But Norman, Stormin' Norman, he can still do it, right?
In 1958, he could
Billy
do it.
Billy Kilmer going to be on your practice squad,
yeah,
yeah. I heard this fall. Yeah.
Back in the day. Hey, you talked about the Southern Miss football player from Houston, you guys. All right, you ready? What's the mascot for Houston?
Hilltoppers.
At high school in Mississippi, Bob.
Hilltoppers.
I have no idea.
Luke got it.
The Hilltoppers?
The Houston Hilltoppers.
Don't follow high school much. Not like you, Kelly.
I have nothing else going on.
You know? Hey, on the show tomorrow, Andrew Abbott is going to come give us a spring football update. And Daniel Stewart will be doing his analysis. And it will get ready for the game tomorrow night.
And the new home run hitter, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yes,
Hannah Borden.
We have her. We have her on a recorded interview, and we'll do our best to get that on the air tomorrow as well. So,
congratulations. The home run queen of Southern Miss. Yeah. 42 home runs.
That's a lot. All right, everybody. Don't forget about Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983, offering steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You can visit them on Hardy Street, or you could call them at 264-4920. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's available all the time on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour asterisk there. Kelly cannot do that. Maybe one day, Kelly. Maybe one day.
And it's... Everybody else is just automatic, but, you know. Yeah,
he'll just do that, a turkey gobble he did during the break.
Yeah, there we go.
No, that's Hump the Wonder Camel.
I keep going back to Hump for some reason. Yes. I'm really infatuated with Hump. All right, Andrew Abbott, Daniel Stewart on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for joining us today, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.